Hello and welcome to Two Words Worlds Pod. I'm Ryan Eichten, and with me today is Travis. Travis, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing, Ryan?
Good. I guess Travis, the sneaker reporter. I should mention that off the top. yeah, we got another loss for you to discuss. I think it's four in a row now. We've had you on after a loss. At least it's just one. And I mean, if you want, we could just pretend like this Laker game didn't exist and just go back to that 20-point OKC comeback if you want.
Nah, we gotta speak in real time. So, you know, I would love to go back to that comeback, though. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll jump right into it. Last night, Wolves lost to the Lakers 111-102, and it was a lot happened. Anthony Edwards got ejected. The Lakers shot 46 free throws, including 23 in the fourth quarter. And the Wolves lost by 9 points, and the Lakers made 10 more free throws. So I'm sure people were frustrated about that aspect of the game. Something I tweeted out that I feel like, similar to you always coming on losses, I feel like is a broken record at this point, is I tweet out this quote from Fringe back on November 27th. So what is that, like 4 months now?
Yeah.
After the Kings game that I think they were 8-10 at the time. So here's the quote. "It's like Groundhog Day. We're playing the same game every night. We get down, fight back, run out of gas, can't close. That's what we've been doing." And that's what they've been doing almost nonstop all season. Almost every one of their losses follows that script, through lineup changes, through, like, I know people, like, when I tweeted it out, blame this or that, and it's not necessarily wrong, but, like, things have changed, and this kind of still keeps happening. And tonight they were down, they lost the first quarter by 16 points, and they were down, I think, 23 at one point in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And to their credit, they fought back, and but other than, like, that OKC comeback, all these comebacks have come up short. So
yeah.
I guess we'll start out. What did you think about that, like, the early game intensity and then the comeback that came up short?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, they start out flat, you know, and that's from both sides of the ball, you know? Yeah. Like, that's how this team's been all season, right? Every game they start out flat, and then all of a sudden they're down by like 10 points, and then they're like, oh, wait a minute, we got a game to play. You know, so I thought when they came out, they had some intensity. And, you know, it's just unfortunate because I feel like sometimes these calls, we're getting so caught up in these calls that it's messing our game up. And I think that was one of, in the beginning, it was one of those, you know, muck up games where it was like you're trying to figure it out. But then as they pulled away, then they had to try to make that comeback again. I mean, there's so many aspects to it. I mean, obviously, Luka, you know, Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves, they were amazing last night. You got to give them credit. You know, credit is where, you know, credit's due where it's due. But, you know, I just know that the Wolves, if they play their type of game, defense, and then turn it into offense, you know, that things could be a lot different. Obviously, you got, you know, the free throw margin was crazy, you know, but you can't control that, you know. But at the same time, you can't control how you're defending. And if you defend without trying to get physical and have that contact, you know, it's going to be tough. Because the Timberwolves, they want to get inside your jersey. You know, they want to, you know, you got, you know, Nas, you know, we got McDaniels, we got so many people, Clark. I mean, the list goes on. We got 3-and-D players all over the place that really want to get inside you. But if you have players that are getting these superstar calls, then it's tough to actually play your style of game when you actually need to get those calls to go for you instead of going for the other team. And I feel like sometimes we just get caught up in that. Obviously, I love the comeback. I love what I'm seeing from Terrence Shannon. I mean, this guy, he's just off the page, man. I'm borderline saying steal of the draft at this point. Some of the stuff I'm seeing from him, it's like he's taking the next step and he's accepting that role of you know what, I'm just going to play freely and I'm going to continue to do what I do best, right? And I think the Wolves are putting him in a position to be successful. And that was the bright spot from last night, obviously, besides all the Anthony Edwards stuff. But, you know, if Shannon can continue to just play at a consistent rate like this, once we get to a full capacity where we're healthy, the whole team, this experience is going to go a long way.
Yeah, Shannon has been phenomenal since being entered into the rotation. DiVincenzo, I thought, looked pretty good. I think he was kind of on this minutes restriction. Maybe they are able to win this game if Dante's able to play 30 plus minutes. I don't know. But yeah, Shannon has been super impressive. 25 points, like, that isn't something a rookie playing in their first few games is able to do very often. And I it's getting to the point with him and Clark, maybe even at this point, Clark to a lesser extent, like when they get guys back healthy, it sounds like Gobert's not too far away. And Randall, I bet you will be back kind of around the next home game next week or so. Him and Clark, I just think they kind of got to play. And that even doesn't even include Dillingham, who has been less impressive, but certainly is someone that they're going to count on in the future.
And the crazy thing is all of the, and I didn't mean to cut you off. It's crazy how like all the young players, they're stepping up and they're playing above their age, right? Yeah. Like in these roles, it's like they're role players, like a Ginobili or somebody, and they know, all right, I'm coming in to do this. Right. And they don't do more than what they're supposed to do. Like Rob knows he's coming in the game. OK, no turnovers. Play make. If my shot's there, take it. You know, same thing for Shannon. OK, they give me the three. I'm a pump fake. I'm going to go to the rack and I'm going to be aggressive. Like he knows when to take stuff. Same thing with Clark. Clark's like, OK, you want to leave me open for the three? I'm going to hit the three. But then I'm also going to defend at a high level. So when you have players that are this young that know their roles already, it's easier when you transition to when all the other players come back, the Rudy's, the Randall's, because that's going to be when they get those minutes are meaningful, but now they're going to be impactful at the same time. And that's what I feel like Minnesota's been lacking since I've been here. There hasn't really been a bench where you feel like, okay, we know exactly what we're getting besides Naz Reid, you know? And now I feel like we're transitioning to a situation where the second unit can damn near play like they were the first unit. And we saw that game, you know, early, I think it was a couple weeks back, I forget who they played, where Finch was like, all the starters get out. You know, all of y'all get out. We're throwing the bench in there, and the bench got the team going. And even Anthony Edwards said that post game. He said, sometimes, you know, we start out with a funk, and we see the second unit come out, and then they get us going, and then we come in and we capitalize on that. So I'm very impressed by what I'm seeing from them. From Clark, you know, Shannon and Dillingham, got to continue to see it though, and we got to continue to translate these games that we could win into these W's.
Yeah, I will say you mentioned playing young for their age. Shannon isn't quite as young as the other players. In fact, he's older than Ant. So
that's crazy.
You could sub the word experience, and obviously your point absolutely stands there. It was just the intensity. Early in games, in a lot of them, just kind of hasn't been there. I know it's always hard to, I always like am reticent, like, I don't want to like just point to, like intensity, because like when you're losing, it always looks bad. Effort always looks bad when you're losing, and it always looks, that part of it, but it's like something is causing something, like it's not just randomness that is causing these early game deficits. Some of it is like the starters haven't fit great, especially like early in the season. And now they just, I mean, it kind of, if you take out the beginning of the game and the beginning of the third quarter, like the Wolves win almost every other minute. So it's just like, I don't know how they can fix that. And I know, like, maybe it is like starting someone like Shannon. I don't think that that's realistically what they're going to do, but yeah, they need to find a way to kind of not go so deep in the hole, because like I remember like the Milwaukee game before the break, like they were down 16 or something and they went on a 13-0 run and they were still down three. It's just like, if they were just down six, like that 13-0 run gives you a big lead. And like in this game too, like they take like an 11-0 run at one point in the game and they're still down double digits. Like if you can prevent those leads from ballooning for the other team, because when this team is good enough to go on a run at pretty much every game, like you can take leads like that instead of still being down. So like I thought, I mean, we'll talk about the officiating and the Edwards ejection, but I thought that was again the biggest story for me, as well as like I thought they missed a bunch of open shots, but like just like glancing at 3-point percentage, they made one more on the same number of attempts than the Lakers, so it wasn't 3-point shooting. Their field goal percentage was almost the exact same. Obviously, like really the free throws were the reason the Lakers won. But I don't know what they got to do to not fall into these holes, because it's, again, it's been different lineups, it's been different players, it's been basically everything. So I don't, they got to figure out a way to prevent these.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you feel like it's like the so many adjustments that you have to make to the lineup, because you have to continue to mold your game to that different lineup, right? Because there's certain nights where JT McDaniels, okay, all I got to do is defend. But then there's other nights where if say, for instance, Ant didn't play, or say, for instance, a random, you know, somebody just doesn't play, now he has more of the offensive burden, right? So do you feel like it's these sudden adjustments that they have to continue to make throughout the season? I mean, let's be honest. Like, they've damn near put out so many lineups this year. I mean, this is the most I've ever seen mixed up. Last year, and definitely the year before, it was the whole five was the whole five the whole year. So this year has been a lot of, you know, a lot of trials and tribulations when it comes to, you know, just trying to figure out that perfect lineup and the perfect match. But you have so many mix and matches, whether it be Mike Conley and Rob and different lineups. So do you feel like the adjustments are hard to actually, you know, to make those adjustments for game by game situations, and it's getting them into a funk where they're like, okay, we got to get into a rhythm. But if you have a different combination of players, is it harder to get into the rhythm, or is it like, hey, let's just get the ball to Ant and we'll play through him and figure it out?
Yeah, I think lineups would help, especially early in the year. I think it's just kind of plain to see that like Jaden, Randall, and Gobert as a threesome is not a great lineup. So that was certainly part of it. So I think making sure that like your starting five is as close to your five best players as possible, or at least a five-man group that fits well. If that means, I mean, Dante's on a minutes restriction. That's why Mike started over him, obviously. It's easier to make the minutes work that way. But I think going back to starting Dante when his minutes are back up there, I'm assuming he'll on a back-to-back, he'll be on a minutes cap again. But maybe I think it's Sunday in Phoenix. Like they can ramp him back up to starter level minutes. I don't know what their appetite is for bringing Randall off the bench. I doubt they'll do it, at least long term. They might, if he's on a minutes restriction like Dante is, they'll obviously think about starting him off at the bench. But I think if he's at full minutes, I'm guessing they're going to play him because that's what they've done all year.
Yeah.
I think it starts with your top guys, and specifically Anthony Edwards. I would have to go back and really watch him specifically. If there's an effort issue in that game, I didn't notice it off just not paying attention to it enough. But I think it starts with him and Jaden and whoever else has been in Nas to a certain extent, like making sure that intensity, like this is probably crappy analysis, but like they had 2 days off in Los Angeles. That in the past, or for any NBA player, it's a nice nightlife city, obviously. So maybe that played a part. Maybe not. I think looking to your best players and making sure they have the requisite attention to detail, effort, and stuff like that is probably the easiest thing to do. But it's also, I'm sure the coaching staff has been hammering that in with them, so it's hard to say what can change.
Nah, for sure. I totally agree. I just wanted your take on it because I feel like sometimes, I know when I played, you know, when I played ball coming up, it, you know, when we made a lot of adjustments to the lineups, I got to adapt my game to what the lineup is now, you know? And sometimes when I was playing, I would be the guy that got it going, right? I'd be the shooting guard. I'm like, all right, yep, I'm getting about 15 shots tonight. But then there's games where that's not my assignment. So I know going game from game, if you don't really know what your pedigree or your, even what your routine is going to be, sometimes you got to switch your routine for what you're going to be doing. So I'm just trying to figure it out because these slow starts, you know, they have become a habit. It's not like, you know, it's not like this is an accident now. Like it's happened throughout the season. So it's more so they got to figure out how to start off like how they did the Dallas game, right? Where they put their throat on, put their foot on their necks, and then same thing where when Randall went off against New York, you got to figure out how to do that, but then maintain it. And when they do that, that's when this team is going to be exceptionally great at what they're doing. But like we've always been saying since I've been on here, we got to see the whole team healthy, and we have to figure out what this team is going to look like, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, honestly. I kind of wish the Wolves had a home game here so I could just like ask Finch that question.
Yeah.
If someone wants to pay me a few hundred dollars to fly out to Phoenix, I'll go ask them. But we'll wait for them to come back home and see. I will try to ask him like what he thinks kind of goes into them. In the past, I think it's been like the starting lineup not fixing, but I do think like what you said is accurate. Is like people are playing new roles every night. It seems like, or at least every week. Like Nas hasn't played many center minutes. Certainly last year didn't, and now is their starting center. Jaden hasn't played the four very much, and he's their starting four right now. Until
and even he's been playing the five too. I mean,
that's true.
That's why I said it's. I wonder if it's just you're going into it like, okay, I got to do this tonight instead of what I usually do, right? Because Jaden's used to being seatbelt McDaniels. He's used to coming in, locking up and clamping down. But now they've been like, hey, we need you to score a little bit more. So now that, you know, he has to do a little bit of everything now where it's a little different. So sometimes when the game plan changes, then you have to change and adapt to the game plan.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is like, it's not one thing. It's easy to point to like Mike hasn't had a great season. It's easy to point to him and be like, well, it's cause I got Mike out there. It's like, I don't know. I can probably find a game where Dante started and they started off really slow. It's a lot of different things. I don't know how, like a lot of what I feel like has plagued the Wolves this year. I'm not sure how sticky it is year to year. Like, I just feel like, a lot of what I feel like is, next year they're just going to hit the round running, and a lot of the stuff that is like the starting lineup stuff, the clutch time stuff. I mean, certainly that type of stuff will continue if not fixed. But I also a lot of the things they've struggled with this year just seem like kind of unsustainable in a big picture sense. But that doesn't matter in a short term sense because they gotta figure it out. And I guess they'll have the opportunity to do that tonight on a late stretch without Anthony Edwards, because Anthony Edwards was ejected, which kept him out of the second half of that Laker game, but was also his 15th and 16th technicals of the season, which gives him a one game suspension. I haven't heard that like confirmed in the sense of like, I don't think the Wolves have said anything about it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't think they have either. You know, because you have to still wait to see if the league rescinds one or...
Yeah, you know, they could rescind one. The second one, I would imagine, has like a very little chance of being rescinded, given he threw the ball into the stands.
He shouldn't have threw the ball.
I wouldn't say the first one was all that likely to be rescinded either, given. But if there was one that had a chance, it'd be that one. Until further notice, it seems like Anthony Edwards is going to be suspended for this game against Utah. One note is that they played 9:30 Central in LA and are now 8:30 Central in Utah. This is the third time this season that they've played a game 23 hours after the last one. And it's the second time this week that they've done it.
That's crazy. Yeah,
that's just insane.
Crazy.
Like, I just want to... Yeah. That's not a thing that should happen even once. And the fact that it's happened twice in a week and then it happened in San Antonio like the first month of the season... Like, it just shouldn't happen. And at this time, like, they were on NBA TV, but they weren't even on TNT or ESPN on the front end. Like,
that was the crazy part about it. Because you would have thought that's a big game. You would have thought that was going to be on TNT.
Right. And so so much of the NBA sucks discourse is so dumb. I think it's crappy analysis. Like, but there are certain things about the NBA, if we want to, we'll touch on the officiating, keep teasing that. But like, the schedule just has to be better than this. Because like, it's just impossible to have a quality game. Like, I just think the Wolves could or should win tonight, but like, it's going to be sloppy.
Yeah. Do you feel like they should condense the season?
Well... I think they should do and realistic things that I think they like will do, in the sense of, I think the season should be 72 or 76 games and you just take out nearly all of the back-to-backs, if not all of the back-to-backs.
Okay.
And I think that helps a lot because I think those have just an increased injury and travel risk but I don't think they're going to do that because you're giving up a lot of TV revenue and game revenue. So I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
I think they need to do a better job with scheduling around the in-season tournament. The Wolves have like a week off in the middle of the season. So it's frustrating to have just like they played two games in the span of like 2 weeks, I think it was.
Yeah, that was terrible too.
You need to, I get that they want to like, they, and that makes sense if you're going to run, like they had the in-season tournament finals kind of by themselves. That makes sense. But like, you got to do a better job of filling in the schedule around those games so that teams aren't, because that's why these, there's more back-to-backs now than there was pre-in-season tournament because the schedule is basically condensed. You have a second All-Star break almost in there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think honestly, like for me, I think that they need to do more of the Texas, you know, the Texas, what is it? I forget what it's called. When you have the San Antonio, Houston.
Rodeo road trip?
The rodeo road. They need to do a lot more scheduling like that. Where it's like if you're playing the Knicks, you know, you're playing the Nets, then you're going to play, you know, teams that are closer. Because I feel like the wear and tear also comes from doing the cross country, right? You can't play in New York and then the next game's in L.A. Like, stuff like that is where, you know, I think that...
This is the second time the Wolves will go a month plus without back-to-back home games. Now, this the second time, I'm cheating a little bit because there's the All-Star break in there. But, like... Like, this road trip is insane. Like, they start off with that crazy OKC back-to-back. Then they're in LA, Utah, Phoenix. They come home for one day for a game against Philly. And then they're back out to Charlotte. Like, so in the span of 3 days, they go Phoenix, Minnesota, Charlotte. Like, that's just...
That's crazy.
Insane. And obviously, like, they have nice planes. They don't... Like, the travel, they don't have to think about any of that. So it's...
They're not traveling like us.
So it is easier for them in that sense. But, like, it's not easy. It's, like, it is a lot of wear and tear on your body. And you don't sleep as well on a plane as you do in a bed, obviously. And I just think they need to do a better job of, like, the Wolves from basically Christmas to mid-January didn't have back-to-back home games. Like, Finch called this stretch, like, a 10-game road trip. Well, then if you're calling one-game homestands like basically a road trip, like they had an 18-game road trip earlier in the year. Like, it's just
– yeah.
It's tough. And every team goes through it. Every team goes through it to a certain extent, but I just think overall for all teams probably the NBA scheduling could do a lot better job.
Yeah. I really think that that would help more if they're closer. If you're playing in a city, just stay near that city. And I think that will help a little bit too when it comes to getting that rest that we're talking about, right? Because if you're already in New York, if you're playing the Knicks and you can knock out the Nets at the same time, that's two Eastern Conference teams. It's different if you're playing in the Western Conference because then obviously you got to move around a little bit. But if you're playing a team like that, like even if you're going, hey, we're going to Orlando, Miami, you can knock both of them out in the same. You see what I'm saying? So it's like they got to use, if you're going to do a back-to-back, make it make sense in a sense of that. Okay, let's do Brooklyn and the Knicks. You know, back to back. We know that they're right there. They get to relax. They still get to get some rest, and they're not hopping on the flight. Same thing for Orlando. Same thing. You know, even when you do the Texas Rodeo. I mean, there's so many different opportunities. And then obviously, do the LA, the Clippers, the Lakers. You know, there's a lot of ways to help the players when it comes to the wear and tear of the schedule. But it's when they do all these crazy, you know. Go all over the place. I don't like when they have like a Sacramento and then all of a sudden you got to go to Miami the next day. Like, I don't like that stuff. That's what I don't like, you know? So it happens though. And I get it.
I mean, Minnesota to Charlotte back to back is pretty insane. And that's, oh my God, that's another, I just noticed that's another 23-hour difference. That's insane. So that's their fourth in the span of, or the fourth this season, third since the All-Star break. That's crazy.
Too much.
Like they maybe the
league's looking at it like, hey, we're giving them these back to backs against teams they should beat.
Yeah, I mean, the first two were because of national TV, and maybe it's same with this Laker game. But like, yeah, that's just insane. Anthony Edwards got ejected. Not going to help them on this quick back to back here. I think like to me, what's important to do is like. A lot of different things can be true at once. I feel like a lot of times when discussing officials, people latch onto their side and they kind of, you can't have two separate thoughts in your head. Like, for instance, like officials can be bad one night and can be a good crew overall. Officials can be bad overall and could not be rigging the league. Like,
yeah.
And so the two things like I'm kind of thinking of, or I kind of got a bunch of notes here, is I thought the second tech was soft. Obviously, we don't know what Ant said to the official, and it was probably cussed at him. I get that. I just think superstars don't often get ejected for cussing at the refs. And part of that is I think the refs were too soft for giving him that tech. But the other part of that phrase is, you're a superstar, Ant. You got to control yourself better. I get, like, again, two different thoughts can be true. It was a missed call on that play. Ant got bumped. Guy was not in what the refs always call legal guarding position. I didn't think their defender was in legal guarding position to bump Ant. Ant goes down and he gets kicked. It's an obvious foul. And so, like, we'll talk about, like, why isn't that getting called for Ant? Like, you watch Shea, and every time he gets fouled, the refs correctly call it. Every time Luka and Reeves got called in that game, they correctly called it. Why isn't Ant getting those same calls? I don't know. I think the Wolves have legitimate frustration there. But the team as a whole, and really Ant specifically, has to do a better job of reacting to that, not letting it get down, and certainly not cussing out the refs now 16 times this season to now get a suspension. And if he gets two more, that's going to be another one in perpetuity until the end of the regular season. I just kind of think it's a on-court immaturity from him that needs to get worked out, because it's been an issue all season and probably longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head right there. I mean, I just feel like, honestly, like you said, it's a maturity thing. You know, it's the NBA. You're gonna get some calls your way, and then you're not gonna get some calls your way, right? But let's be honest, Anthony Edwards is a physical specimen. So when he does go to the basket, majority of the time he's getting hit, you know. So I think majority of the time when he does get fouled, you know, because you'll see him instantly start clapping at the referee doing one of those, and then he'll start, you know, jawing at the referee, and sometimes that's leading to a fast break, or, you know, so those are the things that he just needs to pay more attention to. Obviously, you're not going to get every call. MJ didn't get every call. It might look like he did, but he didn't, you know, and you just got to be more mature. Think about, you know, you got to think about the ending play, too. You got to let coach, what I think he needs to understand is, he has to transition from complaining about the call to letting Coach Finch do the complaining for the call, right?
If you let plenty of that of late too.
yeah, and we're getting plenty of it. But my thing is, if he lets Finchy do the job for him, he gets back. Then when you get a timeout, that's when the maturity comes in and you go over and talk to the referee. And that's what I don't see from Ant. Usually with timeouts, people, you know, all-stars, superstars, if they don't get the call, they pull the referee to the side. Hey, can I talk to you? Hey, so when I'm doing this, what am I doing wrong? What, you're not seeing them grabbing me? Whatever the case may be. And I think we need to see a little bit more of Ant doing that with the referees instead of attacking the referees verbally. And I think sometimes when you're just going, you know, the referees are getting tired of that. And the referees, they got their own group chat probably where they're like, hey, look out for Ant tonight. He's gonna get mad. He's gonna do this. So you got to just make sure that you're being, you know, aware of your surroundings and start growing up within the game and being able to pull the ref to the side. Hey, can I talk to you for a second? I just want to know what I'm doing wrong. Like, these guys are grabbing me. I don't want him to start it off with, hey, I'm not getting the calls that Luka and Shea and all of them are getting. No, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm getting the call and that you guys see it? Because sometimes we'll see when it goes off and then the referee's like, hold on, I see it. I got it. You know, but he's already going off. So, you know, so it's just more so a maturity thing, like you said. And he's one of the most aggressive players when he goes to the basket. Obviously, like I said, I know he's getting, you can hear the slaps, you know, you can hear when he's getting fouled. So it's just more so the referee's got to get it right. And then Ant got to also make sure he owns it on his end and waits to talk to them about the opportunity.
Yeah, I think like the biggest thing to me is, and this is kind of goes beyond even on the court stuff, is the swearing from him. And I'm not someone who's, I don't care about swearing. I really don't. Like, it's not something that bothers me. Obviously there's like, as anyone, like certain language can bother anyone, but like F words, like it doesn't bother me personally. But like, and I swear myself plenty, but like, you have to be able to go, like, we all control it in our lives. Like, there's certain, if me and you are shooting the shit on Media Row, like, we'll say whatever we want, but, like, we both come on this podcast and we try to limit that at least as much as we can. And so I think, like, they need to see that from him, and we've experienced it in the locker room. Like, he's gotten fined for swearing in media availabilities, and then he'll come around and not do media availability. So, like, selfishly, it's even hurting us. We're not getting as much access to Ant as we theoretically would if he was able to control his cussing. So I just think, like, that's got to be a focus. And Finch said, I think, after the game out in L.A., like, they've talked to him about it, and so it's on him. And I kind of agree with that. And obviously the coaching staff can continue to talk to him about it. But, like, ultimately it's on him to fix this, to get it turned around.
And he will. It'll take time.
I agree he will eventually. But I am worried that the rest of this season, like, these continuous texts or continuous suspensions after two games, like, he told us told me and Chris and Chris Hine out in Washington, like, he was done. He was done with the cussing. That was back in the middle of January. And I will say, he also said he was going to stop flipping birds at people because he didn't like the example that set for kids. He has stopped doing that.
So at least he stopped that. So that's good.
Yeah, he did stop that. But, like, again, I'm not too, like, I don't think you need to stop swearing for to prevent the kids or whatever. That's not kids hear F-bombs all the time. I'm not terribly worried about that, but, like, it's a thing for the league that the league doesn't like, and certainly you can't be cussing at officials. So we can move on to kind of more bashing the officials, but like I said, like, a bunch of different things can be true. We'll kind of go into our frustrations with the refs, but, like, I think the first thing is, like, Ant has to, and really the whole team, because, like, obviously Rudy has had his issues with the officials. Like, Finch talked about his frustrations with Shea. Yeah, Rudy throwing the money signs. the whole team kind of has, and again, that's fine. Maybe even most games, I agree with their frustrations. But, like, they just kind of have to have, like, got to be able to set it aside during games. Kind of focusing on the officiating as a whole in that game. Lakers had 46 free throws, 23 in the fourth quarter. I did rewatch the game mostly, like, really just looking for, like, I was looking to be a hater, looking to find calls that I didn't like. And there was a couple. I would probably, it's probably true of every game for both teams. So Luka had a pump fake where I thought he jumped into, I think it was Jalen Clark. I would call that, that's like a league-wide problem I have with officiating, that they call that a foul most nights, and I just don't agree. Like, the player is 2 feet on the floor leaning back, and the other shooter is leaning into him.
Forward,
There was, Jalen Clark did not touch Austin Reeves on that three-point attempt. I don't know how, the replay system to me is kind of just broken sometimes. Like, I don't know how that got overturned. There's a foul off the ball where Luka and Na were kind of hooked together, and Na got called for foul. That wasn't great. And then there were some correct calls by the rule book that I don't like the foul baiting. Shea does it a little bit. They kind of talked about it. Not nearly as bad as some other players. And I thought Reeves does it a lot where he's just, like, looking, not even looking. To me, if your only thing is to try to draw a foul, I don't like that. Like, if you have no way to, so, like, Reeves got one on Mike, like I said, the Luka pump fake or whatever. But, like, I say that to say, I did not find an egregious set of fouls against the Wolves. I was probably unbalanced toward the Lakers, but I didn't think it was this grand conspiracy, I guess.
Yeah. No, I got you. I mean, you know, you touched on a couple of them, like, you know, the Jalen Clark for sure. I thought that wasn't a foul. You know, it's tough because sometimes
there was a charge call, and I hate basically all charges.
You hate all charges. You're still showing me the one from the Milwaukee game.
This was the exact same thing. Reeves is sliding. I just, but that's, again, that's a, they call that Well, I would say, I wouldn't say they call it, they specifically call it inconsistently, which is my biggest thing, is they don't call it the same way game to game. But again,
I got you.
I don't think, like, that's my bigger, I'm like arguing with
that. That's like your pet peeve for sure. Cause like, we'll be sitting next to each other and you're like, look at this. And now look at that. You know, you're comparing all the charges and blocking. It's pretty cool. But honestly, though, I mean, sometimes you're going to get home cooking. You know, we know that it happens sometimes, you know, when, you know, it just happens. Home cooking. But some of these plays, you know, sooner or later, the tide got to go Timberwolves' way, right? And some of these calls that Ant's not getting, I'm hoping that they, moving forward, they do happen for him, you know. And you just can't pinpoint it all to the referees, though, when it's 23 free throws in the fourth quarter. It's like, come on now. If we defend at a high level without fouling, you know, then, you know, we'll get a better outcome. But moving forward, I think the biggest thing is they got to figure out how they can be aggressive without fouling as a team, you know. And that's something that, you know, you can obviously tell Finchie's getting upset about, too, because he's like, you know, we can't touch these players, you know. But they got to figure out how they can be able to be aggressive and still make the right play and still – because remember the Denver game seven. They were aggressive. You know, that's how they want to play. You know, so when they don't get the opportunities to do that, that's where it's a struggle. You know, so they're just looking forward to you know, the foul baiting, like you're saying. These type of players like the Jalen Brunsons, the SGAs, you know, these guys know how to dribble, and as soon as you get on their back, they just, you know, they know they know what to do. You know, so you gotta just figure out how to play that game. And let's be honest, if those type of players were on our team, we're not talking about this right now, you know? So you just got to play the game within the game and figure out how to, you know, maneuver around being so aggressive. Sometimes you got to just make sure you're just contesting the shot or contesting the layup, you know? But these referees, they are built to blow that whistle as soon as they feel like there's some, you know, some physical contact, even if there is or isn't. You know, the Jalen Clark, I don't know about that. But other than that, you know, they just got to get outside their head, you know, and they're complaining a little bit too much. And I think that's also messing up the momentum that they have, whether it be offensively or defensively. And it gets you out of a rhythm when you're doing that, too.
Yep. And I, like, I keep saying this, I do think they have legitimate gripes with some of the, it's almost more on the offensive end. Like, some of these Ant calls, like, I don't understand why he's not, like, you talk about hearing the slaps on the, like, he'll bring the ball down low, do like a gather step and come up, and he's getting whacked on the arm almost every time. I plainly do not understand why they do not call that.
That's a foul every time.
It's been
every
a foul. Time. It's and superstars always get that call. It's baffling to me why he doesn't get that call. I'm sure they brought it up with the league. But it's just like, yes, that is the case. But setting it aside, like, what can you do about it?
Yeah. Like,
I will say we can kind of move on to that OKC game a little bit, or the OKC set of games. Yeah. I do think that, like, that was a good example. The first one or the second game at home, the first end of the back to back, I thought the crowd specifically was a little overzealous about the officials. There's a couple of fouls that I don't particularly like Shea kind of drawing them, but I thought, like, the refs called what the rulebook says they should call. I know you used to cover Oklahoma City, so what was your kind of experience covering them again here at Target Center?
Yeah, it was you know, it's always bittersweet, you know, because at the end of the day, like, I still got a lot of people over there that I love and care about, you know, deeply. Some of the media PR was some of the people that when I first wanted to start my sneaker reporter brand, you know, they're still over there, you know, and they remind me every time. They're like, hey man, we gave you that shot. We looked out for you, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you guys did, you know, and they took a chance on me, you know, and I was like telling them what I was trying to do and how I was building everything up. And then they gave me full season credentials, and anytime any of the players went to, like, whether it be the Olympics or All-Star or anything like that, they always took care of me. So you know, it was even pretty cool running into Sam Presti, and because he's also from Massachusetts as well, that New England area. So we always got that little, you know, bond together. And you know, and he's just like, hey man, you know, you can always come back, you know, like, type of thing, you know. So but he's a mastermind, man. He got so many picks. I love what OKC's doing. you know, it was it's just crazy to see how that they go from KD, Russ, Harden and all that to then you do the transition and then all of a sudden now they're just back up again, right? With Chet, mm-hmm. you know, J-Dub, you know, Shea. So just seeing it all in front of my eyes, I'm very impressed and I'm happy for the Oklahoma City, you know, community. But even when I see Shea and stuff like that, it's all love, you know, and, you know, I'll tell you a funny story about Shea when he first came real quick, and I'll make it quick. His first day, his first media day, just got to OKC, fresh off the trade, didn't know, you know, Joe Schmo from anybody. He's walking around the arena, he gets lost or whatever. He ends up in the media room and he's like, hey, you know, I don't know how to get anywhere or whatever like that. And we're like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I need a ride. So all the media guys are looking like, you know, we'll give you a ride.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, and then, and then, you know, then the PR staff was like, nah, we'll get one of the interns, you
PR,
know, so I thought, yeah,
PR
yeah,
came
yeah.
and swooped, ended that quick.
Yeah, they ended that quick, you know, but it's just, man, Matt Tumbleson, you know, John Reed, you know, those guys really, you know, set the tone. Even Michael Ravina, you know, he's with Golden State now. Ravi, you know, those guys, they really believed in me. And anytime I watch OKC, it's always cool to see. And I'm always rooting for them. You know, even if it's, you know, I want it to be the Western Conference Finals. If I can get OKC versus Minnesota, that'd be good. you give me 7 games of that, I'm gonna really love it. But either way, I would still be rooting for them. And just that community over there, you know, they embrace me just like I feel like Minnesota has now. So, you know, it's just pretty cool to see how you can go from like a different part of the, you know, the country to another part. And then it's like you still feel that same genuine love, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love what, you know, Sarah, she welcomed open arms, Free, all of them. You know, they always take care of me here in Minnesota, too. So, you know, I definitely love, you know, what Minnesota is building here from a PR standpoint. And from a team's perspective, too, you know, like I told people, I believed in Ant, you know, so that Ant was one of the reasons why I was like, you know what, I got to go over there and see what's going on with Minnesota and check out what him and Kat are doing and, you know, and see how everything was moving with that. And, you know, it's been cool. But back to back, though, I thought the first game, you know, there wasn't too many bad calls that first game. Obviously, the comeback was just, that was crazy. You know, but I don't like, the one thing I don't like about this team is the fact that they got to do this miraculous comeback, right? Yeah. It's like, we already know you're talented enough to just, you know, blow a team out from the beginning to the end. And that's the type of games I want to see from them, you know, moving forward. You know, I don't want a comeback that's so crazy that half the fan base fell asleep third quarter. You know what I'm saying? And they, you know what I'm saying? And woke up and was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, so they're talented. Ant's talented. Nas, Jaden. I mean, that's the three-headed monster moving forward. Let's be honest. You know, that's where the future of this franchise is until the summer. And then, you know, we'll figure out what happens there. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a core value here, and they got to continue to grow together. And that's what they're doing. So I love what this organization is doing. But like you said, it starts with maturity, and I think that's where Ant needs to – you know, tone it down a little bit. And, you know, obviously, like you said about the swearing, he's going to swear. Like, people swear. I remember the first time I heard LeBron James swear, I was like, oh, my God, he swears. I didn't even know he swore. That's, you know, that's how clean cut his image is. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't until I went to the Miami Heat locker room and I was like, wait a minute, he does swear. So, you know, things happen. You know what I'm saying? So I think as soon as everybody gets healthy, I think they'll be right where they need to be. Yeah. The OKC stuff was cool, but I do know if we're healthy and we're, you know, we're playing at a elite level, then those two games aren't even going to be close. And that's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a season long of, like, they've played very few, like, start to finish, like, solid games.
Yeah.
Like, they either go down early or when they take a big enough lead, they kind of punt it back. It's been a season long of that. Did you burn any bridges with your OK? I'm sure you didn't go in there and be like, hey, Shea, you're, what was the crowd chant? Oh my God, I'm blanking.
Oh, the free throw merchant?
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't go in there and be like, hey, free throw merchant, what's up?
Nah, I didn't do that. Me and Shea got, it's weird because anything I post or whatever like that, like he'll let me know he sees it. You know, so it's like, Like, it's like I'm giving them added fuel, you know, and it's weird because, like, you know, it honestly, those are my two favorite guards to watch, you know, Shea and Ant. So whenever they play each other, I'm always happy. I'm, you know, I got personal ties with both, you know, so I always appreciate it. But Shea's definitely the type that, like, pregame and stuff like that, he'll throw a little jab or something like that, like, oh, okay, you like it out here? You know, like stuff like that, you know, where he's letting me know, like, okay, yeah, okay. You know, so it's a part of the game too. And sometimes, you know, players will use that as motivation to be, you know, be like, oh yeah, I want to do this to shut him up. So,
yeah. Well, I will say if you specifically are what the motivation Shea needs, I think that's probably not the best thing. Like, I think you can find better motivation than you.
I'm just saying sometimes when he sees me, He don't like when I'm standing on Minnesota side. If he like, he'll find something to be like, okay, you know. But he got his new shoe out, man. I want to plug him too. Like, he got his new shoe, the Shea 001s, and you know, he got the Shea Butter colorway out. You know, so I love everything that SGA is doing, and yeah, and his growth has been amazing too. You know, he's damn near the MVP this year. I've said it since about game 20. So I'm going to continue to ride that. You know, I thought for a stretch, you know, Ant was going to give him a little run for his money on that. When he kept 40 point, 40 point, 50, I was like, oh, wait a minute. But then Shea was like, calm that down.
Yeah, and even if he did, I think the league's not going to give the MVP to someone who's getting suspended for too many techs, like, to put it bluntly. I don't.
Yeah, that's like the league giving Rasheed Wallace the MVP. It wouldn't have happened, huh?
That is very true.
Yeah.
But yeah, last kind of topic here. Looking forward. So we talked about they play in Utah tonight without Ant, most likely. Second night of a back-to-back. They're only 2.5 point favorites against the worst team in the NBA, or not in the NBA, in the Western Conference. I think it's clear Utah somewhere internally values trying to beat the Wolves, because all their guys keep coming back healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Although looks like Markkanen is ruled out on their injury report, so maybe my theory doesn't work. But Utah is going to try tonight. Obviously, they're in tank mode, so they aren't necessarily looking to win too many games. But they've given the Wolves pick, they're a bit more incentivized if they are going to win a game to try to make it tonight. And while unusual circumstances, I would kind of not think that that's possible for them. Certainly tonight, on a short rest game without Ant, they certainly have a shot. Probably need a bunch of Terrence Shannon Jr. tonight. I would assume that would be the way to go.
Nah, for sure. And I love what Utah is doing, the way they're building. I didn't think John Collins was still going to be there after trade deadline. I thought he was going to get moved at one point, but I love what he's doing. I love what Sexton's doing. And then Collier, he's been balling too this year, you know. And then don't forget Kessler, you know. So they got some pieces over there, some young guys that if you, you know, mix it up in the next year or two, they can make some noise. But those guys, they do play determined. I even watched a couple of times before the All-Star break when they played the Lakers, you know, Luka's first game, and then they played the second game right after that, you know. So I was able to watch them a little bit, but they look like they're motivated. And you know, I honestly think the Timberwolves should win this game by like 15 plus, you know, because I think a heavy dose of Naz Reid and a heavy dose of Shannon and McDaniels, those boys, and even even seeing what we get out of Rob, I think we'll get a lot of Rob tonight too. Just seeing what they can do, I think they can win this game easily. Like you said though, they will play a little harder because, you know, the pick incentive, but I think overall, I think Utah goes down tonight.
Yep. I will say the line has moved up to 4.5 since the injury reports have come out, so that's probably good to note. But overall, I just think this is the point where the Wolves got to start winning games. They have the easiest schedule remaining in the Western Conference by a wide margin. The only team that, like, plays so the Wolves, the average win percentage of their opponents is like 420. So it's very soft. The only other team that plays like a below 500 record is the Warriors, who pass them in the standings. They've played well, but haven't necessarily played a powerhouse opponent yet. But the Wolves got to start winning games, because I can continue to talk about their easy schedule. Well, that starts tonight. They got the worst team in the Western Conference. Can they, shorthanded and short rest, can they beat them? Then they're probably going to get Philly without Embiid, I would guess.
Yeah.
And then
they've been talking about shutting down. So yeah.
And Charlotte, Miami, San Antonio, no Wemby. Like, these are the games you got to start winning here.
Yeah. See, but that's going to be a De'Aaron Fox game. He always gets them. Somehow, some way, De'Aaron Fox finds a way. He finds a way against the Timberwolves. So I don't want them to just overlook that one. I think that's a game where you got to, you know, kind of watch out. They still got some young talent there as well. Sochan and they got, what's my guy's name over there? Vassell, you know, Devin Vassell. They got some young players over there too. Charlotte, I'm interested to see how that plays out too.
I didn't check their last game, but they set the record for points, margin of loss in back-to-back games. They lost by like 50 plus in back-to-back games. Okay, Dallas only beat them by 7, so like I think it had to be like double digits for them to set the 3-game loss record. But like Charlotte's been beyond terrible. Like they've won 3 of their last 18 games by my quick math. Like,
yeah, so
similar tonight. It's a back to back, but if I'm gonna keep talking about their weak schedule, like
gotta bring these moments up.
So
yeah,
it's kind of my personal start racking up wins against the against these bad opponents, and then if you can kind of go closer to like they've done this week, splitting against solid teams, they'll probably make it out of the play-in tournament. But if they're gonna stumble against the bad teams, we're gonna be staring a potentially healthy Mavericks team in a play-in tournament.
I don't want that.
Nope.
Yeah. So we'll definitely see what happens. You know, like you said, they got these the easiest schedule, so they just gotta capitalize on it. Now it's in front of you. Now you gotta go get it, right? And it's all about making sure you take care of the ball, defend at a high level, and make sure that you execute offensively. And then we still gotta worry about when Rudy gets back, Julius. You know, these bad teams are going to be easier to integrate them back into the lineup, where you're still building that that starting lineup, you know, to where you want it to be as well. So I think this is a good problem to have. So we just got to make sure that we capitalize on it. Can't let up like tonight. Can't let up on Utah. Got to make sure you take care of business. And it starts there.
Yep, exactly. Well, that's where we're going to wrap it up, Travis. Do you have anything to plug?
No plugs, man. I just want to make sure that everybody continues to tune into the podcast, man. Love what you guys are doing. Appreciate you guys for having me on. And if you want to see anything that I'm doing, Sneaker Reporter on all socials. Also got sneakerreporter.com as well. So that's about it, man. I appreciate you, Ryan.
Yep. Appreciate you. Like I said, that's where we'll wrap up. Leo and I will be back for everyone next week. We'll see you then. Go Wolves.
Hey, you!